Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, let's go to the 16th green, because nothing keeps him away from the golf course. He gets his work done so efficiently. On3.com, Blue White Illustrated, Nate Bauer, sir, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. That's not accurate, and I'm missing a golf day today, but the work must be done.
I understand.
Demand it.
No, I understand that. All right, so go through a bye week. You've written a lot of articles, put a lot of thought in. So what is it through five games? Where is this football team right now, Penn State?
Yeah, I got to stop you to put a lot of thought in. The bye week is my mental vacation. But here's my issue. And even before we get to Michigan, when I look at Penn State, I see three games that I took something from and two games that I didn't really take a whole lot from.
Right, sure.
And the issue is the two games that I didn't take a whole lot from and can't really quite figure out are the two most recent. And mm-hmm. So when you add and compound a bye week on top of that, it feels like a month since I've seen Penn State play a game resembling what I think they are or want to be. So that's kind of the conundrum that I have right now is sizing up who they are. Nick Singleton has changed. Catron Allen has changed.
Yeah.
The entirety of the identity of Penn State's offense. They create a dynamic that Penn State did not have last year. In terms of the ability to have a balanced offensive attack, their receiving options and quarterback play are not as dynamic as they were last year, but they're more than serviceable for what they've had to face to this point in the season. And defensively, I think Penn State's been really good.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I do. I think that they will continue to be very good. I think that the challenges that they have coming are, again, more than they've faced previously. They have not faced anything as versatile as Michigan will be, right? They have faced some one-dimensional offenses that are pretty good, but they haven't faced a team that can kind of beat you in both directions. So, yeah, I feel like I have a pretty good grip on who these guys are, but, this weekend will tell me much, much more than I feel like I presently know.
So flip to the other side. Has Michigan faced a defense this versatile?
And this is the
part where I realize there's always this fatalistic attitude. Of, oh, they got this. They got this. Well, guess what? What do you have? Chopped liver?
Yes. Yep. I just watched this morning a YouTube bootleg of the broadcast, right, of a Michigan game. I just watched them against Indiana.
Yeah.
That was not an impressive win for Michigan. And they ended up pulling away, but that was a 7-point game into the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, it's tied with 7 minutes ago in the third, and Indiana had a touchdown called back. We're not so sure it should have been called back.
Yes. Yes. And so did I see a Michigan offense that was lights out? No, I didn't. Did I see a Michigan defense that was unstoppable? No, they had some sacks. I mean, that Indiana team is not impressive, but they moved the ball. They had opportunities. Blake Corum, I think, is – I don't know why. He reminds me a little bit of Evan Royster. Just I don't think he is – a home run, like he hit a home run in that game, but doesn't have, he's not going to blow you away, I guess, on his own. He's not going to make those plays on his own. It demands that, as offenses do, a conjunctive or a cooperative effort, right? It takes that offensive line being good. It takes J.J. McCarthy putting them into good field position.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, Steve, I pulled some stats this morning. Five of the six offenses that Penn State or that Michigan has faced so far this season have been ranked 98th or worst in the country in scoring offense. And four of the defenses that they've faced so far this season have been 98 or worse in the country this season. Like, it's just, it's hard to get a good grip on exactly what they are too.
Yeah. It's hard to get a read on them, in part because the non-conference schedule was not great. And now they've played in conference. Maryland pushed them to the wire. Even Billy Edwards, the backup quarterback, came in. He threw a touchdown pass. And, you know, Iowa, here's one of the interesting parts. Michigan has scored on its opening drive in five of the six games.
Yep.
Right? They played with the lead. They've also scored in their opening drive four out of six times to start the second half. So they've been good in those situations where it's given them the opportunity to play without as much stress. How about that?
I started to watch, it's all blending together for me right now, but didn't Maryland fumble the opening kickoff?
Yeah, right off the face mask.
You know, so I think when you combine that, I'm seeing now what James Franklin was talking about on Tuesday, which is how the game changes for Michigan in the way that it has been dictated by time and score.
Yes.
The defense can change what it does for Michigan. The offense can change what it does for Michigan based on having those advantages. And so, yes, I think that Penn State will represent by far the toughest test that Michigan has faced to this point in the season. But I think that there's a counterbalance narrative that James Franklin is forewarning, which is very simply, don't put yourself in a hole. Don't go out to
exactly.
Michigan and find yourself down 14-0, because if you're trying to play catch up, it's going to be much more difficult to do. They're going to take the air out of the football. They're not going to be a team that you can just explosive play to death. That's not the way that it's going to work.
And the other element is, you talk about the number of sacks. Yes, they do get sacks, but how many of those sacks, and then watching the Indiana, it's a good example, how many sacks were, I'm behind, I got to throw the ball, and you know they have to throw the ball. And that's, you know, that's why when you start looking at numbers don't tell you everything. You got to actually watch the games to see, and that's where they've been able, and they do get sacks. They got guys, that, you know, Morris is really good off the edge. He's an impressive player. The couple, no doubt they have some impressive guys that can make plays. No doubt. But situationally, it's played to their favor as to how the games. Because they've taken care of business, by the way, in the first three quarters themselves. I mean, they put themselves in that spot.
Yep, very much so. And if you think about it in context of what Penn State is, you don't want Sean Clifford to have to be under those circumstances either.
Yes.
You don't want Penn State's offensive line to be under those circumstances. You don't want to take the ability of what arguably is your best home run hitter in Nick Singleton out of the game and into pass protection.
Exactly.
Because those are the domino effects that those circumstances can have on the game. And I absolutely think that is James Franklin does it. It's very interesting to me because people talk sometimes about how, I don't know if elusive is the right word, but that he doesn't say much at press conferences. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. He told you what's going to happen on Saturday or what the keys to the game for Penn State are, which is Penn State defensively cannot give up 5 yards on every first down. Can't do it, right? They have to be able to limit Michigan's running game on first down specifically and force second and seven, force third and long. Get into those circumstances, and Penn State is in a much better position defensively than it would be otherwise. And on the offensive side of the ball, again, you cannot play from behind. right? You just you cannot find yourself in those circumstances because it's going to be a tough hole to dig out of.
Yeah. Mike Shrewsbury did meet with the media today in Minneapolis as part of the Big Ten Media Days. What was your impression of what he brought to the table?
Yeah, it was the you know, kind of the greatest hits of the summer for him. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. I've been having kind of this conversation with our message board and our online community at Blue White Illustrated, you know, trying to kind of glean some insights as things are going along here in the preseason for them. Nothing's really changed. You know, like they have more offensive firepower that they did last season.
No doubt.
And that is very much thanks to the introduction of Cam Winter from Drexel and Andrew Funk from Bucknell.
And they both,
you're
talking about a couple of guys that have more than 1,200 points apiece in their career. So
totally capable,
yep.
Experienced pieces that Penn State has added to the offensive end of the floor. But most critically, in terms of the narrative for what this team is this season, yes, you've lost John Hara, but Seth Lundy is a stud defensively. Jalen Pickett is a stud defensively. And if you can build around those guys, kind of carry over that foundation that you had last season and add to it a little bit of offensive firepower, you give yourself a better chance to win some of those games that they came up just a little bit short on. So, yeah, I thought he was good, but I didn't think there was a ton of, you know, new information.
No.
Right, you know, of what this team is and what it can possibly be.
Look, the only new information that came out in the entire 2 days was how measured the commissioner was when it came to expansion. That's the only news that came out of it. What he said in July and what he said yesterday were not in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
He very measured about it. So.
Yeah. Yep. It's I'm not quite ready for basketball season, but I'm getting there.
Well, let me put it this way. When November 7th rolls around, I better be ready. So I'm I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I like what I've seen when I've gone. How about that? And I've gone maybe 7 or 8 times. So
I will be interested to see what the influence of Keba is, right, in terms of the interior of that offense and defensively, what he can provide Penn State in terms of a big. And just so everybody knows,
it's Keba Jai, okay?
Yep.
As he said to me, he said, Mr. Jones, he says, the N is silent. I said, well, my last name's Jones and the J is not. So we had a good, you know, whatever, but it's Keba Jai is how you say it. Just so everybody, you know, knows when you go to the games, that's how you say it.
And he will be a name that I suspect Penn State fans will very quickly become familiar with and need to know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, really, a lot of potential, but also, let's face it, he'll need help because talking about Zach Edey, Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, he's got a big job against some really experienced guys. He'll endure it because he's a talent unto himself. But you think about it, you got a big job, man.
Yep.
And he does at a tender age. But you know what?
Yep.
He's got the talent. So.
And that's not, as you know, the only way the game is played.
Of course not. No. Absolutely.
You know, it's just not as critical as making three pointers. That's the bottom line is make threes and you could be in business. And Penn State, I think, is trying to do that.
They are better equipped from long range than they were last year.
Yep.
We're always better equipped with knowledge on the show when you show up.
Ah, stop. I'm blushing.
That was the goal. All right. Check mark another goal off for today. My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Always appreciate you having me on. I will see you in Ann Arbor.
I'm looking forward to it, Nate. Thanks.
All right. See ya.